What a joy. Thank you, men, for singing. Thank you for coming our way, and I trust that that was a blessing to each of you. We're going to look in 1 John tonight, and so we'll get right into our Bible study. I'm excited. We'll get in this study, and then we'll conclude with a baptism tonight. It's a great time in God's house, and I love being in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful that you're here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, read 16, we'll start there. It's 17 on your sheet, I think, but I'll start at 16 and then read to 21, and then we'll dive into this, and trust will be a blessing. And have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. Two times in this chapter, God is listed as love in verse number 8 and then verse doubled up, verse number 16. And so if you want to remember chapter 4, double 4, that's 8, double 8, that's 16. So chapter 4, 1 John, verse number 8 and verse number 16, God is listed as love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, just in case you're wondering, the society that we live in that always preaches that God is love, they forget that he's also the God of justice, he is the God of mercy, but he's also the God of wrath, he's the God of love, he's the God of judgment. He is all that because his holiness demands that. His love is not diminished by his justice, nor his justice is not clouded by his love. He's the perfect Father. So we see here, again, looking back in 16, dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. You all know, your Bible students enough to know that perfect doesn't mean without error. Really, that means complete or to reach a goal, basically. If you are a student that you're in college, you are, well, I'm perfect at that. Doesn't mean you had a 4.0 average. It meant you completed it. I got my diploma, I got my certificate, my bachelor's, whatever. So we see, and we know and believed, or verse number 17, sorry, love is made perfect that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Father, bless us in these next moments to get something from your word as we study into it, and I pray that it gets into us. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in verse number 17, there's a confidence before God. If you're filling out this little sheet, I hope it's a blessing to you. If you don't want to, that's fine as well. But we can approach judgment with complete, fearless confidence. Why is that? Because I don't owe anything anymore. And that is hard for me to remember because I live with me every day. And I know the shortcomings that I have, but I can, because of the love of Christ that was imputed to me for righteousness, as the Bible says, I can have confidence before God. Look back in 17, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness when in the day of judgment. I went to Cracker Barrel the other day, and somebody gave me a coupon, a specific coupon for two entrees and two desserts and two drinks. And I ordered everything. If it's free, why wouldn't I? I mean, somebody was blessing me. I mean, Amy said, do you want dessert? I said, no, but I'm going to get it. I don't care because it's coming with this meal. Said, do you just want water? I said, no, water's free here. I want tea because it costs. So that's what my certificate said. And so I want it all. And then when that waitress came by to give my ticket, I sat up straight. I have no shame because it was paid for. It's already taken care of. I didn't have to worry about it. And we have complete confidence even in judgment. And that's hard for us to say. And there's a reason why we have such low self-esteem and we have such problem with our image, because we are forgetting that you're not something because of who you are. You're something because of whose you are. we find our identity in Jesus Christ, because even though I was a rascal and a low-down, rotten sinner, Jesus still loved me and died on the cross, and he saved me. And sometimes these songs, they say, well, God must have seen something in us somewhere worthy. He didn't see anything worthy, but he loved us anyways. And so we understand that, as the scripture says, we have boldness, or we have assurance or confidence in the day of judgment. So we have that because perfect love was fulfilled in us. And the greatest perfect example of love is when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect love is shown in that. That's why it gets down, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but that's why down in verse number 18, perfect love casteth out fear. I used to worry, lay on my bed and worry about going to hell and not being on my way to heaven. And that was a fearful time to live through. But perfect love makes it take a hike. Amen. And so that perfect love, it casts it out. So perfected love gives confidence because it shows, as we see letter B if you're looking there, if that perfected love, it also goes on to us and shows Christ's likeness in this life. Let me explain what I mean by that. Look at the end of verse number 17. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein is love made perfect, the first part of the verse, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So we know that talks about our salvation. Because as he is, he was perfect. He was the substitute for sin. He was our. He's now is our advocate. But because as he is, so are we in this world. I am in Christ. And Christ in me, Christ in you, as the Bible says, the hope of glory. That's what the picture of baptism is all about. There's no magic water. There's no holy water. There's no anything else. Just normal old Washington County sanitized water. But we dunk a person because that is picturing what's already happened in them. They have been baptized spiritually into Christ. And so this perfect love gives confidence, because after we get perfected and we see that maturation or completeness, then we understand it shows our Christ likeness. How is Christ? He's risen and seated in the heavenlies. How are we hoping to get from here to where he is? As he rose, so shall we. As he did. So we see confidence before God. Now, I'll just take you back to the chapter before, chapter 3, verse 18. This perfect love is not in word only. It's to be acted out. Lest you think in here this evening that, oh yes, this is wonderful. I've got it all. I've got this perfect love. It's all down deep in my heart. Now, I don't let anybody know about it. The Bible is very clear, my little children. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So all of this gives us confidence. Christian people should be the least arrogant people on the planet, but they ought to be the most confident. Because whatever there is about you, Christ loved you, saved you, now equips you. Number two, we see that it casts out fear. Verse number 18, we've already gotten into some of this. But fear is felt when you're to be punished. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Again, I already told you by my own illustration, what's the thing that we worry most about? Well, for me, it was eternal destination. What's it matter about your house payment getting paid? The Bible says that what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So the Bible answer is the thing that you ought to we fear the most, and that's what's not being preached today. How long has it been since? Maybe not from this pulpit, excluding this one, but possibly including this one. How long has it been since you heard a sermon just about hell hot and eternity forever and never any escape out of a Christless hell? That's judgment. That's condemnation. But the Bible says that perfect love, it casts that out. So casting out fear. Fear is felt when you're to be punished. A criminal fears the police, right? Because he doesn't want to get caught. He's trying to make sure if he's evading police, he tries to make sure that his taillights are working, because he doesn't want to get pulled over accidentally and then find out really truly who he is. But that's a fearful way to live. If you haven't done anything wrong, you shouldn't fear him. Now, I know what you do. We've sped so much on the interstate. When you see a trooper out in the middle of it, you hit your brake even if you're going 65 for all those times you're going 85. I know how you are. but we have that guilty conscience. Fear is felt when we're to be punished, but salvation casts that out. I know we'll use this verse sometimes just that perfect love casts out fear, and that can be a thing in your relationship, that can be an aspect, and that's true. That can be a part in your marriage, that can be a part with your children. Certainly, that perfect love ought to eject that fear. But the greatest example of that is that the perfect love, is Jesus Christ's love for us, and that perfect love casts out fear, which is what we all lived in before we got saved. Fear is felt when you're to be punished, so salvation casts it out. But if we live, look at the end of verse number 18, part C of it. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want to touch just on this briefly about those of us who are saved. We know we're going to heaven, but we still live in some fear of what's happening. The Bible says at the end of our verse, number 18 there, it says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So there's an element there that we are discounting what salvation and what God has done and can do, will do, wants to do, is doing, is going to keep on doing for you. Because you not only, when you came to Jesus Christ, you not only got saved salvation, but you also got salvation, so as you are being saved. Now follow me here. You say, I'm not being saved, I got saved. Yes, when you got saved, when you came to Christ, you were saved from the penalty of sin. You were never going to have to face that again. But in your life, as you grow as a Christian, you are being saved, you should be, being saved from the practice of sin. Meaning that those things that used to have a hold on me, the fear, the worry, the bitterness, the bickering, all the fighting, all that, all those things that have a hold on me and a whole list of others, all of those, I am being saved from the practice of those things. That's why the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful, just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we mess up, we go to God and say, God, I messed up again. I'm being saved from the practice of sin through the filling of the Holy Spirit, through seeking the Lord, through the Word of God, through surrounding myself in the good environments. I am being saved from that practice. I'm doing things less and less and less now that I'm saved. You say, you ever going to get all the way so you don't do anything saved or anything wrong? Are you ever going to get to a place where you don't sin at all? I'm glad you asked, because the answer is yes. But contrary to what some of the churches, maybe some of you grew up in, it won't be on this earth. Now, there are some denominations that teach you can get to a place of sinless perfection. Now, I believe you can get to a place where you don't do anywhere near what you used to do. But you're always going to have that flesh that rages in you. So not only were you saved from the penalty of sin when you got saved and you got up from this altar, that altar, somewhere other altar, or the altar beside your bed or at your mama's knee or in your pickup truck or wherever it was, you said yes to Jesus. You got saved from the penalty of sin. And now if you want to be, and you should be, you were saved from the practice of sin. God is helping us, and we're getting victory over these things that used to hold us captive. But praise the Lord, one of these days we will be saved from the very presence of sin, because we will be transported to a place where sin and deceit and guile and wickedness will never enter. So from the penalty to the practice to the presence, we're saved from that. And if we live in fear, then that love is not perfect or complete in us. So I say all that to tell you that as a Christian, if we're fearing things and we're in trepidation about things and we're always agitated, worried, and bothered and dominated by those things, then you need to spend more time letting that love and that salvation that you already possess, if you're saved, you need to let that mature in you. And so that you don't face those fears, that you can face those fears rather with the help of the Lord. So casting out fear in that. In other words, I'll sum that point up. If you live in fear, you're not where God wants you to be as a Christian. Let's put it that way. You say, I really battle with that. I know some battle much, much more than others. And it's not fair for you, those of you who don't worry, It's not fair for you to look down your long Pharisee nose and say, well, if you was a better Christian, you wouldn't worry about all those things. If you're a better Christian, you wouldn't say things like that. How about that? So just because you don't struggle the same way they do, doesn't mean their struggle is any greater or worse than yours. It just so happens it's different. But I am telling you that if we're living in fear, we've just come through two years and some of fear. If we're living in that, and that's overcoming us, and not allowing us to behave, and not allowing us to live, then we need to make sure that we're keeping plugged into that perfect salvation. And you know, I don't mean getting saved all over again. I'm talking about letting that salvation that you possess permeate through everything. And remember, the same God that saved you is the same God that's going to keep you, and same God's going to take you through where you need to be. And then number three, the last, is the source of love. And we've hit this many times in this church, but the source of love, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. We love because of God's love. That's the only way we know how to do it. If you love somebody, there's only one person that, or the only one reason you have that, and that's because God brought that. And our love ought to extend to our brethren because God extended His love for me, to me. Look in verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Don't blame me, blame God. You're going to blame somebody for saying that. You say, you don't know what that brother did to me. I love what one preacher said. You know, there's a big difference between like and love. We're supposed to love everybody. That doesn't mean you have to get in the car and ride 6 hours with them to over to Memphis. 8 hours over to Memphis. You don't have to get in the car and ride with them. You might want to push somebody out or jump out yourself. But we ought to love. Our love should extend to our brethren. So what's our love? What's God's love do for us? Let me give you these last three, and I'm just going to say them. Lets us stand confidently. The love of God lets us stand confidently. Not because we pulled ourselves up our own bootstraps or we sucked it all in and now we look impressive. It allows us to stand confidently because I know I'm not standing in my own ability, but I'm standing in the person of Christ. Amen. Letting this love dwell in you richly. Lets us stand confidently. Number two, lets us not worry about judgment. I don't go to bed at night now. I worry about going to hell. Might worry if I ate too late, and you know, it's a little rough to sleep, and sometimes whatever, my wife can't have caffeine too late because it makes her stay up. You might worry about a lot of other things, but I don't worry about where I'm heading. It lets us stand confidently, and it lets us not worry about judgment. But then the third thing is, it allows us to love others. You know, everybody's not too lovely. Have you figured that out? You say, he said, preacher, don't talk about my spouse that way. I didn't say who it was. I just said everybody is not that lovely. But the love of God allows us to love others. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to help us in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we try to love others because you've loved us. And I pray that this perfect love would cast out the fear in our lives and you'd help us in that. Would you stand together with me as they begin to play? I'm going to let Brother Dan handle the invitation. And I'm going to ask him in just a little while if he'll sing, Shall We Gather at the River? Wonderful song to sing for 442, Brother Dan. Because we'll have a baptism here in just a minute. But perhaps you're here tonight and there's just something on your heart. And you've been having more fear than a Christian ought to have. Friend, would you allow yourself to be submitted to the Lord and allow Him to start taking that fear away and let Him start letting that love fill you? You can have that confidence in Christ. Notice I didn't say arrogance, just confidence of knowing who we are. Some of the most confident people I know are some of the kindest people I know. They're not trying to impress me. They're not trying to bring merit to themselves. They're just who they are, thankful that God loves them. That's the way we ought to live. You can just sing it.
Let's sing that first verse of Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Shall we gather at the river? In that first verse, 4:42.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne?
Maybe I accidentally turned it off. Sorry about that. Jonathan and Lucy have been a great blessing to us. Y'all be seated. Amy got to know Lucy before I got to know Jonathan. That they're faithful as can be, their sweet daughter. We certainly are thankful for them. They want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But Jonathan needs to be baptized. He's been saved for some time, but I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I told him just a little bit ago, I always like to tell people what I tell others, that it's refreshing to see a man that will take a stand for the Lord and be baptized. Sometimes kids, they think, oh, that'd be fun, I'll get to do it. But an adult doesn't do it like that. But it's just a joy, because it's so important to follow Christ in believer's baptism, take your public profession and make it real to everybody, make it viewable to everybody else. It's just a joy. Now, on the lighthearted side, I tell Jonathan, I told him before, the way that I knew him for the first little bit that I was getting to know him, I told Amy, I said, man, he's the guy with the impressive beard. He sits about four pews behind you. So I applaud that, because I don't have that luxury of growing one like that. But come on down, brother. Thank you so much. And Jonathan, in obedience to Jesus Christ and because of his command and the word of God, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. God bless you. And Jonathan and his wife Lucy would also like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're a wonderful family. We need a motion to do that. Brother Scott Martin, a second. Brother Ball back there. And Richard Ball, all in favor, say amen. Amen. God bless you. All opposed? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for being in church tonight, and what a joy. I hope you get by to see the Bach brothers up here and the young men that sang for us, and they were such a blessing. It's a wonderful joy to see them, and thank you, each of you, for being in church. Let's all stand together. Brother Dan, we have anything else? Is that good? All right. Thank you for being in church tonight. Oh, parent-teen meeting. If you've got a teenager, Brother Kyle would like to meet you downstairs. You parent-teen meeting. Just to go over some few things for the upcoming season, I'm sure. But so that'll be just down in the youth department. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.